for freedom every day.
Let me tell you, the response to the show has been absolutely amazing. People can't believe that a young conservative millennial continues to fight for constitutional principles, traditional values, and talks about issues that some are even afraid to talk about. But we do it because we understand the importance of this, and now we're seeing it absolutely blow up all across the nation.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yeah, buddy, welcome into the Voice of Reason. It is a Friday. You finally made it. It is the end of the week, which is the greatest time of the whole week, unless some people work the weekend, in which I feel very, very bad for you. But don't worry. We've done it plenty of times before, and you get through it, and you do your thing. Until then, happy Friday. Welcome in, broadcasting live out of the heartland of America here on the flagship station of the Big Talker KQAM in Wichita, Kansas, all over the country on radio, TV, live streaming. Plus, we do have the video feeds up right now on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Twitter, Twitch. It's weird. First off, I almost forgot to put up the YouTube feed, but I got it up. It's also on the website at HoosierReason.com. And the Facebook was lagging a little bit, which means like it even took me a while to find it on my own page when I got it up live to be able to share it out. So I'm not sure if it's still having the issues of trying to not post very well, if that's the case. So if you do see it, I appreciate it. If you like it, leave a comment, share it onto your own page, and continue to spread it out there all over the place. If you're just listening on radio, then just sit back and enjoy. It's a Friday, and you can kick back and actually have a great evening. We have a lot to get to today. At the bottom of the hour, we will be playing our interview with Newt Gingrich, former U.S. Speaker of the House, and talking about his new book, along with some of the latest current events on civil unrest, the elections, President Trump, COVID-19, all that stuff. So we'll do that here at the bottom of the hour in just a little bit. I wanted to follow up a little bit after our conversation yesterday when it comes to the Electoral College. It got me thinking. And for those of you that know, for those of you that don't know, I love election time. It's like my favorite time. It is the most civic duty-minded thing that you could possibly get involved with. It is the greatest time of the year, other than the 4th of July, but you get to go and cast your vote as a sovereign nation of individual freedom-loving people. We get to enjoy freedom. We get to enjoy the right to go and cast our ballot for someone to represent us in a constitutional republic society, something that very few societies in the nation or in the globe actually get to enjoy, something that very few nations in the history of mankind have gotten to enjoy like we get to. We're very unique, which drives me nuts to the point where people say, I don't like America, because we get to enjoy more so and more rights than anybody else. And I think that that's something we should hold very near and dear to us, which bothers the question of election fraud, which we can get into in a minute. But when I started thinking about the Electoral College, I started thinking about why they wanted to do this. The national popular vote, getting rid of the Electoral College, trying to even create D.C. as its own state. I don't know if you've heard about that. Washington, D.C., instead of being the District of Columbia and being part of Virginia and part of a couple other states and just kind of the area. No, they want to make it their own actual state. And I don't know if you're aware or not, but if they want to make it their own individual state, that means that we would have a few more representatives based on their population, and we would have two more senators. Now, my guess, right now, Republicans have a one-seat majority over Democrats in the U.S. Senate. And I want to talk about the Senate races here in just a second, because there are a few swing Senate seats in different states that we need to be very concerned about. So if you're listening in those areas, what can we do to help you? That's the big question. What can we do to help you? Because we cannot lose the majority in the U.S. Senate. But if D.C. gets two more senators, what side of the aisle do you think they're going to be on? Majoritively the Democrats, right? I mean, you're right there in Virginia that is hard left. You're in Washington, D.C., where the mayor is hard left. And you want two senators to represent that little District of Columbia in the Senate and make it 102 senators instead of 100 senators in the United States. That would always give the Democrats a majority. There would be no chance, unless we swing a couple other states to red, which is very unlikely with how partisan things have gotten, it would be very, very difficult for Republicans to ever get a majority in the Senate again. The national popular vote to always give the presidency to the Democrats, because majoritively the cities obviously have larger populations in the rural communities. The Democrats usually control the larger cities. And then you talk about voter fraud with voter registration of people that shouldn't be registered to vote, illegal immigrants that shouldn't be registered to vote, and the list goes on down. So if we talk about these, they're slowly but surely, and they talk about them in such a way to where you're crazy if you don't get on board with this. Why would you not believe that District of Columbia shouldn't be a state? Why would you possibly think that we need electoral college votes that are just unhinged and they can do whatever they want to instead of a national popular vote? What's crazy about thinking the national population should have the majority like a democracy, right? But we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. And I know this is a little deep for a Friday, but bear with me for a second, because these are important issues that I think we need to address. And as we look at the Senate seats coming up, this race, what are we? We have, let me see if I can find it. We have a total of 18 races in the general election battlegrounds right now. Republicans are defending 23 seats in this U.S. Senate race coming up in 2020, while Democrats are defending 12. And as we look down the list here, they're showing some of the different margins of the polling that shows potentially swings one way or another. There are four seats right now that are potentially Republican that look like the polling could potentially swing it to a Democrat. There is one or two seats where there are Democrat seats that could potentially be swung to Republican. So according to the polling right now, we have the potentially losing of the majority in the Senate to Democrats, which they're pushing very, very hard to do. Now, this is coming after the last election in 2018 when we actually won some seats and we gained that majority. And we did very well in the last election. But this one, they're concerned about number one, Colorado, Cory Gardner. Senator Cory Gardner up, and he won that with a 2% margin last time. And right now, the Democrats have almost a 5-point lead over the incumbent Cory Gardner. Colorado, something to be concerned about. And we have a lot of listeners in Colorado via the podcast. Cory Gardner was the representative there for a while. He's a mushy, moderate Republican, but that's almost what's needed, unfortunately, for Colorado with how far left that state has gone, with a crazy left-wing progressive governor, with a crazy left-wing progressive state legislature, a crazy left-wing progressive city council within the Denver city limits. You're not going to be able to get a flaming conservative constitutionalist in the state of Colorado. It's not going to happen. And right now it looks like that may be swinging that way, and I hope he doesn't lose that seat. But Democrats may be able to take that one. And if I am concerned about any seat, I am concerned about that one. Another one, Maine, Susan Collins, which we already know our thoughts about Susan Collins. But at the same time, Susan Collins is one where, again, Maine being a predominantly left-leaning, a little bit moderate Republican, left-leaning, a constitutionalist Ted Cruz-style conservative is not going to win in the state of Maine as much as we would like that. But it's going further that direction as Susan Collins in the last one won with a 36-point margin, and now the Democrats are winning in a polling at least by 3% in the polls. Now, take polls with a grain of salt. I don't believe all of them. I believe very little of them, and I think a lot of Republicans aren't even turning out to the polling, and many people haven't even gotten polled. I don't know if I've ever gotten polled. Maybe once. Have you gotten polled? I don't know. Talking about polls, you can go to the website. We have a new survey up there as well that you can check out. I like that little swing in there. Anyways, Maine could potentially go back to the Democrats with Susan Collins. Now, Susan Collins has predominantly voted against many Republican bills and pieces of legislation anyway, so would that be necessarily a loss? Yes, it would.
Andy, why she votes Democrat most of the time?
She does, but this is where the nice two-party system comes into play. She's a Republican, which means we have one seat for the Republicans, which means we have a Republican majority, which means we have a Senate majority leader that's Republican that can kind of guide and steer the direction things are going. We have to look at the grander scale here. Many purists, and I call them purists because I'm about as conservative as you can get, but also I'm a realist. I'm a rational, realist individual, and we have to look at the grander scale of things. I would love every single person in Congress, on both the Senate and the House, to be a hardcore right-wing conservative constitutionalist. I would love that. Realistic faction is it's not going to happen. And in many districts where we don't like many Republicans like Susan Collins, like Lisa Murkowski, if you remember Jeff Flake from Arizona, if you remember Mitt Romney now that's in Nevada, which I feel bad for you in Nevada, everybody that's listening out there because Utah. He's in Utah, right? Yeah, Salt Lake City, Utah. He's out in Utah, and he just obviously doesn't live there. And then it just comes out and poof, there he is. Boom, senator. And got that pretty easily. Very moderate individual. Moderate governor when he was governor as well. Terrible candidate for president. The realism is that I'd rather have a moderate Republican that sides with me 20% of the time than a Democrat that doesn't agree with me at all and then gives Democrats majority in the House or the Senate. Because that's when you get a Speaker of the House like Nancy Pelosi, and that's when you get a Senate Majority Leader, potentially, like Dick Durbin, or some other crazy wackadoodle that could run the Senate. But right now we have Mitch McConnell, still not the most conservative guy, but it works. And he's been able to keep down a lot of things that could potentially be very bad. So we need the Republican majority. So even though we may not like Cory Gardner because he's a moderate Republican, even though we don't like Susan Collins because she's a moderate Republican, we need them. Because I'd rather have that than a Democrat in there because of the politics that goes into play on the grander scale. I'm not a purist in that sense. I'd not say either we want everything or we want to run off the cliff. Because that's bad for us. Looking at some of the other ones, Arizona's a toss-up, and they say is leaning Democrat when it comes to the race in Arizona. Arizona's a tough race. Arizona's one where we had John McCain, where we had Jeff Flake. We had very moderate Republicans there, and now it's starting to lean even further because as it continues to evolve on the border, the Californians coming in, things to start lean further and further that way. The reason I'm bringing all this up is not to be the doomsdayer being like, oh my gosh, we're all going to lose the majority and we're all going to die and we're all going to be able to, we're not going to be able to stop Trump. Oh no. I'm not bringing it up for that reason. The reason I bring this up and to talk about these swing elections is so we can focus on them. Alabama, they say, is a toss-up. That should be a solid Republican district, and it's leaning Republican right now for the polling, but they say, according to the Cook Political Report, that it's a toss-up. Alabama should be a lock, sure thing. We don't want to lose these majority. In fact, if we're going to get anything done, the lame duck session of President Trump, if he gets reelected, and I think he will, we need a Republican majority, at least in the Senate, to be able to block the House. And we would love to be able to get a majority in the House of Representatives again. And the way we can do that is not by focusing solely on the federal elections with Donald Trump and the national issues, but to focus on our local grassroots campaigning, to focus on the local candidates. Who's going to be the best at being able to represent us at the federal level from the local level? And the primary, I've said this many times before, the primary is where you do it. I love primaries. I want them to be brutal. I want them to be vicious. I want them to be bloody. I want us to beat each other up so bad. I want it to be like the Irish pub where you go outside and everybody's in a brawl. I want the Republican Party to have primaries like that. You know why? It's because when we do something like that, then we do what we're supposed to do as a party, is we're supposed to spar and challenge each other on our vision, on our ideas, on our platform, and on the issues, because that's how we grow. That's how we evolve. We're supposed to do that. Democrats don't do that. This election here was very out of the norm for Democrats, this presidential election, because they got nasty with each other, and they don't do that. They get their talking points, and they're all nice and happy, hunky-dory, and they try to differentiate themselves from each other, but they do it in a nice way. And, well, I agree with you on this, but I want to take it just a little bit further. I agree with you here. I just want to go a little bit more. But at the end of the day, remember, the Republican's still the bad guy. They're united. We're like the brawlers in a Western, an old Western bar, to where you just want to beat each other up for the sake of. We do that to expand our ideas because we actually challenge each other, but we come out stronger at the end of it as long as we unite, regardless whoever comes out victorious. We'll continue this when we come back. We have a lot to get to here on The Voice of Reason on a Friday. Stay tuned in.
The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, it's Andy Hoosier with The Voice of Reason. Fighting for conservative principles seems more difficult all the time. The progressive left seems to find new and creative ways to limit freedom, abuse power, and trample the Constitution each and every day. That's why we need the knowledge, resources, and common sense to push back. And we can help with that. Visit our website at HoosierReason.com. There's some really great stuff for you. You can read the latest blog discussing topical issues and current events. Let us know your thoughts by filling out our monthly survey. Keep track of what I might be doing or where I may be speaking. Listen to the podcast of your favorite guest or show. And check out our latest Voice of Reason product infomercials. Plus, you can find upcoming show schedules and guest lineups to plan your radio listening appropriately. And finally, make sure to become a Hoosier-holic by subscribing to the free newsletter. Stay up to date on the latest news of the show, fun facts of the month, and learn new ways to defend and preserve this great republic. It's all there at HoosierReason.com. Again, HoosierReason.com. Go check it out. Why? because it's kind of the reasonable thing to do. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. Want to reach out to the show? A big part of the program is you, and we want to hear from you. Let us know your thoughts of the show, maybe a guest we've had on the program, or my favorite, when you disagree with something that I talk about. You can email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or send us a message through our website at HoosierReason.com. The show's not about me, it's about you. So be heard and be your own voice of reason. Again, email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or find our contact information at HoosierReason.com. Miss part of the show? Don't worry about it. There's plenty of ways to catch the program, and here's how you can do it. First, make sure to tune in every day right here on your favorite radio station.
We're here for you.
Second, subscribe to the podcast on any of your favorite sites. YouTube and iTunes, Spotify and Google Play, TuneIn, Podbean, and more. Have the show automatically downloaded to your favorite device. Last, visit our website at HoosierReason.com. You can listen to the podcast, catch our special features, and more. It's the voice of reason on radio, TV, and online, helping you defend and preserve this great republic.
You're listening to The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, welcome into The Voice of Reason. Great to have you today on a Friday all over the country. Radio, TV, live streaming. We get a lot of comments. Appreciate you hanging out with us on the live stream. You can also visit HoosierReason.com and do so, by the way, too. HoosierReason.com. We have a new survey up for you, and I'm going to start reading the results of the surveys here soon as well, which we've tried to do some different ones about different policy or the COVID thing or some of those. So if you see it, just go to HoosierReason.com. It's right on the homepage. You can scroll down a little bit. You'll see the live stream of the show actually right now, which you can watch that. And then you can also go and do the survey. This one is about the most important issues to you in this election, the policy issues. What's driving you to go to the polls? Is it gun rights? Is it the family values? Is it the COVID thing? Is it taxes and regulation? What is it? I want to hear from you on what those important issues are so we can focus on them on the program to get you energized to get out and vote and make sure everybody else gets out to vote. Because right now, as you can see, we have swing elections that we really need to kind of focus on, like Alabama, which is crazy. Who would have thought Alabama? Arizona. We have Maine that could potentially be swinging blue. Now we have Michigan. Here's the interesting part. Michigan has a current Democrat, Gary Peters, who's a Democrat, but actually has a 1% polling above for the Republican. The Republican's leading right now. That would be crazy if Michigan starts swinging to the right. They went for Donald Trump in 2016. Slowly. I think here's my thought. I think the Flint water issue with the Democrats and the EPA, they tried to blame that on Republicans. Republicans haven't run that in like 60, 80 years. It was the EPA and the Democrats that actually allowed things like that to happen. The crime rates in Detroit, as they try to rebuild after the unions took over and after the Democrats took over, they're trying to come back, and they're getting there, but they're starting to swing back the other way. Remember, the pendulum always goes back and forth. It's how we utilize that time when we actually have that control. So we need to pay attention and focus on some of those as we talk about some of those swing election seats and U.S. Senate seats across the nation. I think it's important. Arizona's a toss-up. Colorado's a toss-up. Maine is a major toss-up all across all the polling sites right now. Montana is a toss-up. Think about that for a second. Montana, it's leaning Republican with a current Republican in there, but it could go the other way. North Carolina, same story. It's crazy how we see these toss-up states that either the media is lying to us about because they really, really, really want them, the Democrats, to take over these to gain a majority back, or it's really true. Now, there's another story on Yahoo News that shows, of course, their bias wanting the Democrats to take over these, about how much money the Democrats have raised against Republicans. Montana Governor Steve Bullock, who's challenging the Republican incumbent for the Senate seat, has raised $7.7 million in the second quarter of the year. In the main race with Susan Collins, House Speaker Sarah Gideon, the Democrat that's challenging Susan Collins, has raised $9 million over the same period in the second quarter. In North Carolina, against Senator Tom Tillis, the Democrat raised $7.4 million against the Republican incumbent. And the story, of course, is, look, the Democrats getting all this money. A story we ran a couple days ago was Joe Biden winning all this money. Look at him taking all this money. Donald Trump can't win. Now, Donald Trump's still ahead in all the polling, not the polling, but the fundraising numbers. And by the way, fundraising numbers from low small contributions, meaning you and I donating like 20 or 50 bucks, he's still winning in that majoratively over Joe Biden. But they're like, look at that, Joe Biden winning more money, taking in more money, raking it in. The guy who's going to transform things, right? imagine, if you will, a nation with a Joe Biden presidency and a Chuck Schumer House or Senate Majority Leader. Imagine that for just a second. That scares me. With a Nancy Pelosi Speaker of the House still. That concerns me, and I don't know how we could stop some type of shenanigans that they try and ram through. It would be like AOC every single day, and to me, that scares me a little bit. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. Bottom of the hour news. When we come back, I'm really excited to have on our guest Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, to stop the one that kind of stopped a lot of Bill Clinton shenanigans. Remember that? Yeah, we'll talk with him coming up about his latest book, COVID-19, and the elections, his thoughts on some of the latest issues. Plus, I want to comment on some of your stuff that you're chatting about on social media as well, the important issues to you as we wrap up a Friday, trying to keep it somewhat lighthearted, but still important stuff here on The Voice of Reason. Stay tuned.
The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. While you listen to the delightful broadcast of The Voice of Reason, don't forget to check us out and follow us on all of our social media sites. Whether you're using Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Minds.com, or Instagram, we're there for you. Find us at Hoosier Reason on any of your social media platforms. You'll see special commentary, links to the articles and news that we use on the show, and videos of the broadcast. Plus, you can directly send us a message on social media during the show to let me know your thoughts. Many already do, and it's a great chat room for all of our great listeners. And you can always sign up for the Patreon site to get exclusive content, maybe hear show products before we air them on the radio, and a lot more. And when you support us on Patreon, you also help the show be able to fight for conservative values each and every day.
So it's a win-win.
Just find us at Hoosier Reason on all of your social media platforms, or you can find a link to all of our social media sites on our website at HoosierReason.com. We know you're on social media already, so bring some reason into your day. Why? Because it's kind of the reasonable thing to do.
When Reason Meets Radio. You're listening to The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, you are. Appreciate you hanging out with us today on a Friday, wrapping up the week as we usually love to do, our favorite day of the entire week. No matter where you may be, radio, TV, online streaming, the Podbean live stream is up and going as well. You can always check that out. And if, by the way, you always miss the show and you want to hear more of it, you want to hear the show again, you want to automatically download it. I know each podcast site does it differently, but we are on the podcasting sites, any of them. In fact, the most popular one is Apple Podcasts. For us, at least, I didn't even know there was a difference between like iTunes and Apple Podcasts, because isn't that the same company? But nonetheless, there are separate, and Apple Podcasts seems to be doing very well for us. So you can find us on there. We're also on iTunes and YouTube, TuneIn and YouTube and Spotify and LinkedIn and whatever else. So you can find us there. Just go to HoosierReason.com. You can see the list of podcasting sites. Also, the podcast is right there on the website. You can listen to as well. All right. Without further ado, we sat down earlier today with the U.S. former Speaker of the House and his latest book, Mr. Newt Gingrich, talking about some of the latest with COVID-19 and the elections and President Trump and all that. And this is what Mr. Newt Gingrich had to say right here on The Voice of Reason. Mr. Newt Gingrich is on the line with us here. Newt, how are you, my friend?
Well, I'm doing great. And listen, it's a wonderful thing to have a chance to talk to you. And there sure are a lot of things going on.
Oh, there are a lot of things going on. It's a crazy time right now between the lockdowns and the virus, between the civil unrest that we have, between just the anger, the lack of American unity that we see right now. I've never seen it before. I'm a millennial. I've never seen this type of division in my lifetime before. And I'm concerned going into an election season of the divisiveness that we've seen right now. When was the last time that we've really seen this type of anger, this type of angst, this type of lack of American unity? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Well, I'd say the late 1960s to about 1972. We had very hardline anti-Americans. They set off 2,500 bombs, and they were deeply committed to destroying the country. The Black Panthers had as a specific public goal shooting policemen. The Weathermen organized bank robberies and other things to sustain their, what they would call their revolutionary activities. And finally, we broke them by tracking them down and arresting them and putting them in jail. But it was a very deep, very, very dangerous period, and one where the last wave of these kind of anti-Americans were very, very powerful. I think Now you have a different kind of situation. I think you have a much bigger left-wing anti-American model because you've had, you know, two more generations of people who do not like America and who've been brainwashed, frankly, by colleges and places that are just really, I think, amazingly destructive of the country.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very true. I mean, they're extremely divisive. Here's the big question, though. Can we bring unity back? I mean, the Democrats have done this for a long time, and right now they have the anti-cops, all white people are bad, the white privilege mentality. And it's extremely divisive with the identity politics, which is what Democrats do best. Is there a way to begin the unity and the reformation of the country again?
Well, I think last weekend in South Dakota, that the president began that process at Mount Rushmore. I think, you know, basically we're going to divide into those who believe in a kind of radical identity politics, as you put it, and those who believe in America. And I noticed that the family of the 8-year-old who was killed in Atlanta were very clear and said, look, our daughter was not killed by police. Our daughter was killed by people in the community. Mm-hmm. And we need to have more police, not fewer police. Well, I think that's the kind of conversation that will begin to turn the tide as people realize that the policies of these anti-Americans don't work. That's why you have an enormous increase in killings in Chicago and New York and St. Louis and you name it.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about right now the Democrats with their ideology because they're going after the police. We see Minneapolis voting to defund the police and try and do community-based policing. We see L.A. starting the same thing to some degree, which is really crazy to me. I never thought that we'd actually get to that point, but law enforcement is such a vital aspect in society that is there a way to restore trust in law enforcement, or is this something where we're going to have to ride this through, let those, I guess, social experiments fail in those certain cities and then begin to bring it back? But there's so many that hate law enforcement across the nation. Is there a way to begin to instill trust in them again?
Look, we went through this exact cycle in the 1970s. Clint Eastwood's career was made doing the Dirty Harry movies, where he played a San Francisco detective surrounded by liberal judges, liberal lawyers, and people who were anti-cop. And the country, as it reacted to the rising crime rate, basically sided with people like Clint Eastwood. And that's why in New York, for example, when things finally got bad enough, they elected Rudy Giuliani. And he turned it around in 1 year because he dropped all of the liberal, incompetent policies that don't work. He installed sound, practical policing, and they literally reduced, ultimately, the murder rate in New York by 88%, an astonishing achievement.
Wow.
And I think what will have to happen is people will presently get sick and tired of being afraid. They'll get sick and tired of watching 7- and 8-year-olds getting killed, and they'll realize that the Democratic politicians who've been running these cities have failed. They've just failed totally. And I think it was very interesting, though, when the president said he wanted to help, that the mayor of Chicago, who has consistently the most murders of any city in the country, mm-hmm. and where the Democrats have held the mayorship since 1931, for 89 years, she said, well, you know, we're tough women, and you don't need to, you know, push us around. And my thought was, well, if she's so tough, why isn't she on the South Side saving lives?
Yeah, well, that's true. And then, of course, you can get into the Second Amendment argument as well and be like, well, it's a gun-free zone, so why are we seeing so many killings at the same time? We're talking with Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House for the U.S. government, also host of Newt's World podcast at Gingrich360.com and author of the latest book, Trump and the American Future, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. Let's shift gears a little bit to the virus right now, the pandemic, the shutdowns, and I know that played a big role in your book when you were writing this, but what have we learned throughout this whole pandemic, the shutdown, the concern, the face mask wearing, the talks about the economy that's been struggling so bad? What are some of the aspects that we can learn from this pandemic so far, and how can we positively move forward across the nation?
Well, look, let's start with a practical reality. This is a Chinese virus. The World Health Organization has now admitted that the Chinese did not tell them what was going on. The Chinese let it get out of control. The process in the U.S. where the President Trump was totally correct to cut off flights from China, and ultimately to cut off flights from Europe and saved a lot of lives doing it. And frankly, if we had not had such a disastrous series of policies by Governor Cuomo, which probably killed 6,000 to 8,000 senior citizens, we'd be in much better shape today. But he adopted some policies that basically paid off the hospitals at the expense of senior citizens. So I think that you know, you have to start down that road. I believe, and I'm frankly reading this stuff carefully, because of course the propaganda media, which used to be the news media, but is now the propaganda media, is doing everything they can to try to keep the economy shut down, to try to beat Donald Trump. And so you have to, you almost have to. My daughter, who's a trained analyst in financial things, said she has never seen a more deliberate effort to make it impossible to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is every indication we have so far is that the death rate is going down.
Yeah.
Well, if the death rate is going down, but the number of young people who have the disease, but in many cases aren't even affected by it.
Sure. I mean,
the reason they're being, you know, without the testing, we would not have known they had the disease. So I don't quite know what's going on right now. I would say people should move forward carefully. I'm talking to you from Italy, where they've had a huge, huge problem because they had 100,000 Chinese workers in northern Italy, and they literally imported the disease direct from Wuhan for weeks after Trump stopped it.
Wow.
So I would say that we are faced today with the need to reopen carefully, but to not be intimidated. I think we're going to discover ultimately that this is less deadly than people thought, and that, you know, to some extent, these guys who are deeply involved in epidemiology are a little bit like the weatherman. You know, weathermen love to have hurricanes because it guarantees you'll watch the weather.
Exactly.
And so I think to some extent they instinctively exaggerate it.
It's sad, the fact that they do exaggerate this much. Last question before we let you go. I know you got to run, but when you were Speaker of the House, do you remember the media being this divisive as they are right now? And because they're wanting people to pay attention to the virus, the scare tactics, trying to fear us into wearing masks all the time or doing whatever they do about the death rates when it's actually going down, like you mentioned. Were they this divisive when you were Speaker of the House back then, or has it gotten worse over the time?
No, I think it's gotten dramatically worse, and that's why I say that the news media has been replaced by essentially a propaganda media. You saw this in the New York Times, where they published one article by a conservative center group. They published 7 days a week. It's totally liberal. They published one article, and the radicals on the staff forced them to fire the editor for having published it. So it just told you these people aren't new. Nothing to do with the news. This is all a political propaganda machine pretending to be news.
It's Newt Gingrich's latest book, Trump and the American Future, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. Newt, I really appreciate the time, my friend. Thank you for what you've done for this nation. Keep up the fight.
Thanks. We'll do it.
There it is. That was Newt Gingrich, former U.S. Speaker of the House. Pretty cool that we got him on the program, and his latest podcast, his latest book, all the stuff he's working on from Italy. There you go. Right in the heartland of where the COVID thing really spread for a while. And they had a disaster on their hands. We'll take a break. We'll wrap up the show with one more segment. Don't go anywhere. We have some interesting news when we come back. Plus, we'll cover all the comments you have as well. It's the Voice of Reason right here on a Friday. Stay tuned.
The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. While you listen to the delightful broadcast of The Voice of Reason, don't forget to check us out and follow us on all of our social media sites. Whether you're using Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Minds.com, or Instagram, we're there for you. Find us at Hoosier Reason on any of your social media platforms. You'll see special commentary, links to the articles and news that we use on the show, and videos of the broadcast. Plus, you can directly send us a message on social media during the show to let me know your thoughts. Many already do, and it's a great chat room for all of our great listeners. And you can always sign up for the Patreon site to get exclusive content, maybe hear show products before we air them on the radio, and a lot more. And when you support us on Patreon, you also help the show be able to fight for conservative values each and every day.
So it's a win-win.
Just find us at Hoosier Reason on all of your social media platforms, or you can find a link to all of our social media sites on our website at HoosierReason.com. We know you're on social media already, so bring some reason into your day. Why? because it's kind of the reasonable thing to do. Miss part of the show? Don't worry about it. There's plenty of ways to catch the program, and here's how you can do it. First, make sure to tune in every day right here on your favorite radio station.
We're here for you.
Second, subscribe to the podcast on any of your favorite sites. YouTube and iTunes, Spotify and Google Play, TuneIn, Podbean, and more. Have the show automatically downloaded to your favorite device. Last, visit our website at HoosierReason.com. You can listen to the podcast, catch our special features, and more. It's the Voice of Reason on radio, TV, and online, helping you defend and preserve this great republic. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. Want to reach out to the show? A big part of the program is you, and we want to hear from you. Let us know your thoughts of the show, maybe a guest we've had on the program, or my favorite, when you disagree with something that I talk about. You can email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or send us a message through our website at HoosierReason.com. The show's not about me, it's about you. So be heard and be your own voice of reason. Again, email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or find our contact information at HoosierReason.com.
You're listening to The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Welcome back into it. Wrapping up the program today. Last segment. It goes by so fast. So fast. No matter where you may be listening, watching, thanks for hanging out with us today on a Friday as we wrap up your week for you. Back at it Monday, we have a laundry list of guests to get to next week as well, so you're not going to miss a single show. So we got some really, really cool stuff lined up for you next week as well. Thanks again to Newt Gingrich coming on the program. Always great to chat with him. I think that was the first time we've chatted with him. We've chatted with some really big guests with Dinesh D'Souza and some other great individuals. But Newt Gingrich, I think that was a first for us. So welcome to the show, Newt. And it was a pleasure to be able to chat with him. I don't know if you, a show of hands, how many people still listen to Eminem? That is so 1990s. Actually, I looked it up, and where he was really big, which, again, that's not my cup of tea. Let me just clear that up. That is not my kind of music at all in any way, shape, or form. But he's in the news lately, and he came out in the news, what, a year or two ago when he started slamming Trump, and now apparently he's come out with a new song where he slams Trump again, and he calls cops dirty, and he goes after anti-mask people who don't want to wear masks. And then goes after some NFL player and something too. Anyway, it's the reason I bring it up is because apparently he is in the media, which I don't know why. There's no reason for him to be in the media. Nobody cares about Eminem. That is so 1990s. But I was looking to see when he was popular, and it was actually 2000 is when his big song came out, which makes me feel really old for a millennial, because I remember that as like a kid, and I thought that was more 90s. But that's 2000, and it seems like a really, really long time ago, which makes me, for some reason, feel even older. But Eminem, here's the headline from therap.com. Eminem slays anti-maskers, dirty cops, and new single with Kid Cudi? I don't know. Plus, he blankety-blanked Drew Brees. Okay. So I listened to the song. I don't know why, but I listened to the song, and it's a rap song, which, again, I'm not into that thing. But I listened to it, and I don't understand why they make a big deal of this. He threw the lyrics in, and it was crafty, I guess. It was unique. It was a clever way to be able to take the jabs in there. But with how fast they talk in the rapping, he just rolls right past it, and then you move on. I don't know why this is news. But Eminem, the Slim Shady, was the one that actually apparently was a big story, and that's how he gained his popularity, again, by releasing an album that was nothing but just trashing Trump. This is the media today. This is the celebrity status. I mean, Robert De Niro was going after Trump, and now he's a big thing. When I used to like him, now I can't watch him. Eminem, I don't really care anyways because I never listened to his music anyways. There's like one song that kind of caught my attention a little bit, but that was about it. It's crazy how that's the focus, and everybody seems to focus on that. Then you got Kanye West out there trying to run for president. I don't know. I'm still confused how that's going to take votes away from Trump. Or how that's going to take away from Biden. I mean, everybody's saying it's going to take away from Biden. I don't know how that's going to happen. I heard an interesting conspiracy theory just, what was it, yesterday, where Kanye West and Donald Trump have been BFF. They've been buddies. They've been in there for a while. Kanye's the one that wears the MAGA hats up on stage and doesn't care what anybody says. He is very religious now. And I don't know if he's a born-again Christian or what he is, but he's very religious now. Everything's about God. His latest album, I guess, was very religious and was number one in the country for a while, which is crazy. So Kanye has a following, and he's been BFF with Donald Trump. Then all of a sudden he announces he's running for president out of nowhere. Now, he's not registered in any states to actually be on the ballot. He's not registered anywhere, but he just said he wants to do it. So people that really, really like him are going to write him in and take a vote away from somebody. The question is who? Or maybe it's just an unknown group of people that's going to come in and vote, and it's going to be a whole new demographic. I don't know. I doubt it. It's probably already the registered voter people that already vote. But who's he going to take away from? I would say Trump because he's buddies with Trump. But I heard a theory. Because now apparently Kanye and Trump are no longer BFF, but they've actually had a shaking up in their relationship and their friendship. So here's the underground, and here's what we're thinking now, is that Joe Biden is trying to hype up, and he's gaining momentum. The polls are doing well for him. So the conspiracy is that Trump and Kanye faked a breakup friendship to go against Trump to try and win over some of the black vote to take it away from Joe Biden, so that would give Trump the win, and then they'd be buddy-buddy again thereafter. I don't know. That's the interesting conspiracy theory that I heard the last couple of days, and I thought it was intriguing. Mull that one over for the weekend, and we'll discuss that again on Monday. Plus, when we come back on Monday, epic failure. How many election officials are concerned about the November election and the chaos that may happen because of the COVID-19 virus, the mail-in ballot issue, and how we're going to have the safety measures in the election polling places. We'll do all that and more on Monday. Until then, you're your own voice of reason. Make sure to speak up, speak out, speak loud, speak proud, speak the truth, and always speak some reason. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. Podcast going up a little bit. Make sure to check out HoosierReason.com. Fill out the new survey. Everybody have a great weekend. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier with The Voice of Reason. Fighting for conservative principles seems more difficult all the time. The progressive left seems to find new and creative ways to limit freedom, abuse power, and trample the Constitution each and every day. That's why we need the knowledge, resources, and common sense to push back. And we can help with that. Visit our website at HoosierReason.com. There's some really great stuff for you. You can read the latest blog discussing topical issues and current events. Let us know your thoughts by filling out our monthly survey. Keep track of what I might be doing or where I may be speaking. Listen to the podcast of your favorite guest or show, and check out our latest Voice of Reason product infomercials. Plus, you can find upcoming show schedules and guest lineups to plan your radio listening appropriately. And finally, make sure to become a Hoosier-holic by subscribing to the free newsletter. Stay up to date on the latest news of the show, fun facts of the month, and learn new ways to defend and preserve this great republic. It's all there at HoosierReason.com. Again, HoosierReason.com. Go check it out. Why? Because it's kind of the reasonable thing to do.